from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
All right, starting lineup, 18th day of the month of September, and that means we're officially 8 days away until Tennessee travels to South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. All the action you're going to be able to hear right here on your home for Tennessee football, 99.1, The Sports Animal. Good morning, salutations. Hi, Tyler Ivins, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Will West, he returns to the program coming up on Monday morning. Other things we need to get to today, hey, listen, Pac-12, we need to know what the update is. Great news coming out of the city of Los Angeles yesterday. If you're a Pac-12 fan or you're just a fan of college football, the more the merrier, more to view, more to watch. That's great. We'll let you know how the Pac-12 is faring and join the Big Ten to return to play in the 2020 season. Speaking of returning to play, Powell and Central are going to do that tomorrow. It's undefeated versus undefeated. Sold out at Central. Mark Packer is going to be joining the program to talk about that preview tomorrow between the Panthers and the Bobcats. I wonder how we arranged that. I just don't know how we would. How is it so easy that we can always get Mark Packer, the play-by-play voice of Rivalry Thursday, to join the program? He at 8:15 and coming up at the bottom of the hour. Yeah, you know what? Make it the end of the hour. We'll call it the end of the hour. I'm going to attempt to do something that has never been done before on this program, okay? So no, Will, but you still need to make picks, right? You still need to make a little coin for the weekend. Me, Tyler, I'm not just going to make three picks. I'm going to make six picks, okay? I'm going to try to do the unthinkable. I'm going to try to do six picks, try to go 6-0 this weekend. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been up since 2 a.m. this morning only to help make you a little coin, okay? I had to find the six perfect games, and I'm going to have them for you coming up at the end of the hour. What should we start today's program with today, though, huh? What can be the one topic that would officially make you happy to learn when we start things off here for this Friday? Well, it's no-brainer, but he's not clear just yet. So for those of you out there believing Cade Mays is going to be starting 8 days from now for Tennessee against South Carolina, there's still another layer. But that being said, yesterday the NCAA has officially granted Tennessee offensive lineman Cade Mays a transfer waiver that was initially denied by his request. All right, Jeremy Pruitt, he had some good news yesterday after Thursday's practice. Now, Mays, he played in all of Georgia's games last year, as you know about that. He's been trying to transfer since January. You know about the father situation. But, man, 6'6", over 320, you know that you're getting yourself some solid beef on the offensive line, and it's an opportunity for Tennessee to add somebody else to protect Jerry Garantano this year. And that offensive line, instead of flirting around with, well, it's to the same level of Kentucky without Cade Mays, Tennessee is now in that Alabama territory again, not just in the SEC, but across the country as well. Now, listen, there has been a lot of holdups. Georgia not wanting to play against Cade Mays since the transfer out. You know, the damages were filed on December the 5th. Look, this is an opportunity for Tennessee to do something that a lot of people didn't believe was going to happen. I mean, look what we've done over the last couple of weeks, comparing the transfer or deniable, the deniable reports and the claims from Aubrey Solomon last year, from Uroš Plazović in the winter for Rick Barnes's basketball program. I mean, you've got Cade Mays, and we're going to talk about it coming up in a matter of moments, but Cade Mays, just a man who can play every offensive line position. He did it last year at Georgia. So, I mean, the breakdown, if I have him here right here, this is what the kids call checking the notes, okay? So let's check the notes, shall we? The notes here say that Cade Mays for Georgia last year had six starts at right guard. He had two at right tackle, two at left guard, and one at left tackle, all right? And this is a guy who had played more than 80% of the snaps in 11 of the 14 games as a freshman, all right? I don't have to go through the tale of the tape of what Cade Mays and the importance of him starting for the University of Tennessee is for the 2020 year. Having him and having that versatility, man, goodness gracious, is that not just an absolute home run, right? So lawyers, lawsuits, trying to file everything to make sure Cade Mays gets his things in order to be able to start for Tennessee, it's a step closer. So a lot of people out there reading it on Twitter, seeing it on Facebook, having to double check on Facebook to make sure that it's not just some just crank of a website. Yeah, because it happens a lot. Admit it. You clicked on things before going, there's no way this is true, and it's usually not. Yesterday, you went on, double, triple checked, saw three different websites and said, oh my goodness, Cade Mays is cleared. He is cleared, but he's cleared by the NCAA. The final step, it's now up to Greg Sankey in the Southeastern Conference to clear Cade Mays to allow him to play for the University of Tennessee. Now, maybe it's safe to say that he is already cleared, because why in goodness gracious, why in the world would Greg Sankey not allow Cade Mays to play for the University of Tennessee this year? It's a fair question to ask. I mean, look at what Greg Sankey has to do right now. Greg Sankey has got to worry about contact tracing. He's got to worry about COVID-19 right now. He's got to worry about just putting football teams on the field for his 14-team conference to complete a 10-game conference schedule this year. It just seems like he's too worried making entrees. He doesn't care if the glasses of water are still full there at the dinner table. All right, poor example, the comparison, the analogy. I could have done a lot better. Point is, though, if you're out there saying, man, I can't believe there's another hurdle to get over, this thing is an anthill. It's simply just a step over, and I can guarantee you, if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm anticipating that Cade Mays is going to be on my offensive line coming up 8 days from now. But the question is, where? Just where would Cade Mays start? I mean, you just learned about the versatility for the reminder out there of what he did last year alone at Georgia. I mean, you have a couple of offensive linemen, young offensive linemen, talented offensive linemen that are coming off injuries last year and they needed to have surgery. You know, you have Trey Smith, who has added some versatility to his resume over the last couple of years. Where do you put Trey Smith? Now, Trey Smith is pretty simple. Just kind of like, you know, Brandon Kennedy is going to be at center. It seems like you kind of know where Trey Smith's going to be there at the left guard position. He's going to be a guard at... But Cade Mays makes it that much more fun to rearrange kind of the cars, is it not? Coming up on the other side, Eric Kay, and I've got to ask him a question, because if you want to talk about where your best options are for Cade Mays, is it automatically a slam dunk that he's going to be a guard, or is it automatically that he's going to be one of the tackles, or is it going to... It's just insanity to know that you have this guy at 6'6", 328, who's now eventually going to be keeping Tennessee's quarterback upstanding. So right now, first man up, Jarrett Garantano, probably the biggest smile out of the entire quarterback room. And you have to assume this great news coming just mere days after Trey Smith's comments about the NCAA being nothing but suits, eating lunch, reading the paper in their boardrooms. A classic line by Trey Smith. Let's see if we can grab that and replay it before we talk about Cade Mays. Maybe I'm just sitting there reaching. Maybe I'm just sitting there trying to put a square peg in a round hole. But the point is, if you're a Tennessee fan, the news you got yesterday, it's fantastic. Speaking of Kaner, we'll bring him in first. A Tennessee Lottery sports update. Your phone calls at 656-9900. Hey, be happy. It's the final weekend without Tennessee football. And at least the cover-up is, you know, that Cade Mays is likely to be starting next week in Columbia, South Carolina, against the Gamecocks, pending Greg Sankey sign-off. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, Tyler was just talking about it there. Good news for Tennessee football. Offensive lineman Cade Mays has won his eligibility appeal with the NCAA. Next up to be completely eligible for the season, the SEC will need to clear his transfer waiver. But one step is down for Mays, who is one of the better players on Tennessee's roster. More notes to come on Tennessee football during Tennessee football practice report. That'll be at 7:15. You'll not want to miss that. Rivalry Thursday score, West improved to 5-0 on the year with a 22-7 win over Oak Ridge. Thursday night football, the Browns took down the Bengals 35-30. Number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, was 37 of 61 on the night for 316 yards and three scores in a losing effort. NBA playoffs, Miami outlasted Boston 106-101 to improve to 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Lightning defeated the Islanders 2-1 in overtime to advance on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Tampa, who won the series 4-2, will represent the East while taking on the Dallas Stars. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals will be Saturday night. MLB scores, Cincinnati beat down Detroit 10-3. The Yankees slug past the Blue Jays 10-7 for their 8th straight win. White Sox beat the Twins 4-3 to clinch a playoff spot. The Rays also clinch a spot in the playoffs, sweeping the Orioles 3-1, 10-6 on Thursday's twin bill. And round 1 of the U.S. Open saw 21 players score under par, but it was Justin Thomas leading the way at 5-under. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:12, catch up with Pete Michaels Traffic. That's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
His body is like a porterhouse steak. Little fat on the edges for extra flavor. Tyler Ivins and Will West on the starting lineup. 99.1. The Sports Animal.
So you got a little bit of a jump in your step this morning, do you not? You should, especially the news yesterday. The NCAA has granted the transfer waiver for Cade Mays to play immediately. But remember, still another layer to go. One last step, and that is the approval, the final approval from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. We welcome you back here. You're home for Tennessee football, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins at 656-9900, 1-866-656.
Yeah, so Tyler Robbins, Eric Kane here on a Friday morning TSL. Really excited to be at it again. Tyler was talking about having a little pep in your step. Well, again, Cade Mays won his eligibility appeal from the NCAA, but Tyler, now that's step one. There's another layer to this. He's got to be cleared by the SEC, but again, Jeremy Pruitt still sounded pretty optimistic yesterday.
Yeah, he did, and really I'm sitting here looking at the official transfer waiver by the NCAA. There's two steps to go. I apologize. This entire morning I've been sitting here saying there's one step to go. The first step is he's got to come over to my house and he's got to fix my internet. I'll see if Cade's available to do that. The second is being able to be transferred. No, that's a joke. He's not coming over to fix my internet. That's what my provider does. Got it. Cool. No, there's one to go, all jokes aside. And that is for Greg Sankey to sign off on this. Look, Kaner, I'm not going to sit here and Jimmy Himes this. I don't have my sources. I'm not going to sit here and say this is the belief of what I'm understanding from what's happening there at Haslam Field. Let's just keep it short and sweet. I can't imagine or see any reason why Cade Mays isn't going to be cleared by Greg Sankey, and he ain't going to be starting coming up next Saturday against South Carolina down in Columbia. Initially, you knew the news. I would say probably around the same time we did, but because you're on the beat, maybe you knew a little bit sooner and you were wanting everybody else to enjoy the surprise. Your thoughts initially, just because you cover the team, you get as much coverage as you can during a COVID-19 period, but man, adding more potential to your roster than taking away potential from your roster, that's always good, especially for Jeremy Pruitt. I'm sure that is a welcoming sight, knowing he's one step away from having 77 back on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll dive into more of those comments from Jeremy Pruitt yesterday. Very productive media availability session, the last one that we're going to get.
I'd say so.
Yeah, the last one that we're going to get before game week next week. But you're right. I mean, anytime you add, number one, just Cade Mays the player. Cade Mays is a tremendous football player. He's played a lot of football down in Georgia. He can play a lot of different positions. And he can play up at a high level. And so in a year of just, you know, take out COVID-19 and all that, and just having Cade Mays back is a big thumbs up in terms of if you can get him back. Now, again, there's two hurdles. Getting that from the NCAA, that's great. We'll have to wait and see about the SEC, and hopefully you can fast-track that. And again, now you're dealing with only 14 teams instead of 130, so you like to think that that can be fast-tracked, especially with the season beginning September 26th. But now you throw in the whole COVID-19 thing into fold here. Cade Mays, his versatility is tremendous. So when you have Jeremy Pruitt say that Wanya Morris practiced for the second time in 23 days yesterday, when you have other guys like Kayron Calvert who's missed some time during camp as well, when you have some offensive linemen who have not been in the fold the entire time, you can take a guy like Cade Mays if he clears the final hurdle and if he is eligible. Don't just have to say, you know, right guard. You can say, well, I can maybe plug him at a left tackle. I can maybe plug him at a right tackle. He can maybe play left guard if he has to. It gives you so many more options moving forward, and Cade Mays is certainly capable of playing each and every single one of those positions, probably better than everyone out there, with the exception of Trey Smith at left guard. So that is a good feeling to have if you're Jeremy Pruitt, having all that versatility there with Cade Mays.
You know, I just go through where he played last year at Georgia. The versatility, right now, it's not matched. Only by Trey Smith, the luxury of having another five-star with versatility on the offensive line. Last year at Georgia, Kaner, you have the same thing in front of you. You already knew this, but the refresh, 6 starts at right guard, 2 at right tackle, 2 at the left guard position, and he played once at left tackle. I mean, the fact that you can plug and play this guy anywhere, there's no layer of importance to this. It's the absolute top. There are no layers when you're the number, when it's the best. So again, the options. I go back to that Southern Miss homecoming game 3 years ago.
Southern Miss homecoming game 3 years ago, where Tennessee had a redshirt tight end playing right tackle. I know that's where Tyler was going with that, where you were struggling to get scholarship offensive linemen out on the field at the same time, and now you flip forward 2 years later,
yeah.
The depth and the quality of this roster, you're exactly right. You have so many options. And two, here's the situation, Tyler. In a perfect world, we all know this, what Will Friend, what Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt want on that offensive line, in a perfect world, going left from right, you want Wanya Morris, Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Cade Mays at right guard, and Darnell Wright. Well, that might not be exactly what we see week one against South Carolina. Again, it was news to me as well. I knew he missed a little bit of time, but it was news to me that Wanya Morris practiced only for the second time in 23 days yesterday. Yeah. Good thing that he's back, but Tyler, it'd be hard-pressed for me to believe that Wanya Morris will be out there starting snap one, game one. Now, we'll have to see how practice goes next week, but if I were a betting man, this is the offensive line that we'll see game one against South Carolina.
You are a betting man. I taught you how to be a betting man.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it again here in 20 minutes. Left or right, I bet you'll see Jameer Johnson out there snap one. Trey Smith, left guard. Brandon Kennedy, center. I bet you will see, if Cade Mays is eligible, Cade Mays at right guard with Darnell Wright at right tackle. Now, Darnell Wright is battling for a right tackle position right now. It's not a given. We've talked about that, you know, from here on out. I've been pounding the table about K'Ron Calvert this entire time. But again, K'Ron Calvert has missed a little bit of time as well. So if Darnell Wright is not impressing coaches enough to be out there to earn that starting spot round one, you could very well see Cade Mays starting at right tackle, and then Jerome Carvin stepping up and starting right guard. Now, again, this is just game one, and these other guys will be available. Jeremy Pruitt said that as of right now, everyone for the two deep would be available to play if we played today. So that is a good sign. You could very well see Darnell Wright, you know, rotate in, Wanya Morris rotate in, but just the lack of practice time because of quarantine, some injuries, and other situations, that might be the five you see starting out right now. But again, The line you want would be Wright and Morris at tackles, Smith and Mays at guard, and then Brandon Kennedy at center.
Your Friday, maybe late Thursday night, officially went to the next level of excitement. Knowing that Cade Mays, one of the most important pieces to Tennessee's success, has now been cleared by the NCAA, was still the SEC to come, and it kind of almost closes the book, does it not, from him standing up, showing off the red Georgia shirt, a Catholic. Look, the initial commitment to Kirby Smart's program during, you know, Butch Jones leaving the program and Jeremy Pruitt coming in. This is an opportunity for that story to now officially be done, put on the shelf with the rest of the books, and he begins writing another one here with his younger brother and continuing the family legacy here at the University of Tennessee.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. It's the starting lineup from now until 9. We will have To the Window segment coming up in 20 minutes. 5 burning questions at 7:30. UT football practice report 7:15. Mark Packer joins the program at 8:15. And stay tuned. Your chance to qualify for the Man Cave Makeover. That might be coming up here in a matter of just a couple of minutes. But the starting lineup right here on The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
8 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
All right, we're back at it this morning on the starting lineup. 99.1, the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, West Knoxville Home Studios, Kaner Budweiser Studios.
And again, as always, a loaded show here on a Friday. Man, that Thursday night primetime slate was just incredible. Now, I was doing Rivalry Thursday, and I wasn't able to be by the TV watching what was going on, but you know, we had the U.S. Open wrapping up round one, 21 players scoring under par, Justin Thomas leading the way. You had Miami going up 2-0 over Boston in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. You had Thursday Night Football where Joe Burrow threw the ball 61 times. 61 times in a Thursday Night Football game where it came up just short, 35-30, the final score against Baker Mayfield, Tyler Ivins' number one player, and the Browns. So the Thursday slate was pretty incredible last night. And again, this just kind of goes back to kind of show you where we were since March, all the way through July, when, you know, really since early June when sports started to come back. Again, you had NASCAR come back. You had Major League Baseball come back towards late July. You had some other scores kind of get in the fold as well. Golf was there. But, you know, really, when the NBA bubble got going, when the NHL bubble got going, when Major League Baseball started playing, and now that we have football back, really, we've just kind of been spoiled here. And at points in time, you're sitting there saying, well, it's almost like it's too much sports, too much stuff to watch, not enough time to get it in. And I sit there and say, hey, give me all the sports, Tyler, because, again, we had a time where we didn't have any of it, and nights like last night just kind of made it all worth it to show how far we've come.
It was difficult to keep one thing on a television at a time, and I know a lot of people say, well, you can only keep one channel at a time. No, if you have setups like a lot of people do, they salivate at nights like what we got last night on Thursday. And if you watch the NFL game, guess what? You were actually treated to a pretty darn good game. 65 total points were scored between Cleveland and Cincinnati. And, hey, wouldn't you know it, that Ohio Bowl or the ha-ha, let's make jokes about a toilet game because the Bengals and Browns can't win football games, you were actually treated to a pretty darn good game. Baker, Cleveland, they get the win last night. Mayfield, 16 of 23, 219. And this isn't just Will West jokes. This isn't just mustache jokes and bets and, let's see what Gardner Minshew does this week. Mayfield had himself a pretty darn good game. I mean, just based on what I'm reading last night, and a lot of people were in agreement, this might have been Baker's best performance that he's had in 18-some-odd months. So for Cleveland to be able to pick up their first win of the year, this is big. Why? Because not only is it against a division opponent, but now the questions, at least for 1 week, they can settle down about whether or not Baker's actually the anointed one for the Browns. There was a lot of talk during the off week that Odell Beckham Jr. and him weren't on the same page. Well, those critics, again, silenced. 4 for 74. He hauls in a touchdown, long shot down the field, Baker to Odell Beckham. And I'll tell you this, the offense for Kevin Stefanski last night was just more paced. You didn't see a lot of that. Well, you're not going to see a lot of that against Baltimore at all this year, a team that was the one seed last year in the AFC. But it's not just what Baker and the offense was able to do. It was watching the defense just kind of upset Joe Burrow's tempo. Because there was a point in time that last night, the number one overall pick and Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU, he was getting confidence with every snap. Stat by NFL Network as they were closing the broadcast, and it has something to do with the University of Tennessee. Joe Burrow, he is the second rookie, I should say the second most passing attempts by a rookie since who? Tennessee's quarterback coach Chris Winkie. Winkie, his rookie year for the Panthers, he attempted 63 passes in a game. Last night, Burrow 61 in the loss against Cleveland. I'll tell you this, rookies usually we know by like 8, week 12, usually by the end of the year one, we say we need to see more before we make a judgment. Joe Burrow's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was right for not even taking phone calls or considering trading the number one overall pick. And last night we saw what could be the future of this team. Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, and even last night T. Higgins gets in the fold out of Oak Ridge. He has 3 catches himself for 35 yards. So Cincinnati, are they going to be banging on the door with Baltimore or Pittsburgh this year for the division lead? No. But can they actually challenge teams this year? I'll just say what I'll say, and that is every time I thought I was going to be turning away from the Cleveland-Cincinnati game, whether to pick back up where I left off in Boston, Miami, or New York, Tampa Bay last night, the bubbles, I was treated to good games across the board. I mean, Boston let a lead slip, and now they've got to look at themselves in the mirror, or the teammates have got to look Marcus Smart in the face. We'll get into that coming up momentarily. But you all
just got to find a way to win if you're Boston. Yeah, now down 2-0, but you had all that on the slate for Thursday night. And going back to that Thursday night football game, Tyler was talking about how the 61 pass attempts, the 37 completions for number one overall pick Joe Burrow. Two more stats. This one's from ESPN Stats and Info that it's going to kind of back my point here in a second. But Burrow's 37 completions, the most in the game by a rookie in NFL history. The 61 pass attempts, again, the second most all-time by a rookie. Joe Burrow, the first rookie since 1950 with 60-plus pass attempts and zero interceptions in a game. So, again, hats off to Joe Burrow. What a game it was. But I'll tell you this, Tyler. Joe Burrow and Cincinnati cannot make a habit out of him throwing the football that much. Goodness gracious.
Now, the reason why was just because their offense just could not get going. Joe Mixon has to be able, with a new contract, has to be able to find second speed or
got to be able to pace the offense, essentially. And you were talking about Cleveland's offense was pacing very well with Nick Chubb on the ground, had 122 yards. Kareem Hunt had a two-touchdown game. And when you have that running attack, especially that 1-2 option in the backfield, that helps pace it to where Baker Mayfield only threw the ball, 22 times, 216 yards, whereas Cincinnati didn't have that.
He didn't need to throw the ball more because they had pacing and the time of possession. Just go look for yourself. I mean, usually you can if you didn't watch a game, a lot of people cheat by just looking at the stats overall. If you look at the time of possession, Cleveland, what they were able to do was get the ball out of the hands quick. They had huge chunk of yardage plays, and they were quickly on top of Cincinnati from the get-go. When it was 7-0, you kind of already knew that Cincinnati had to be on their A game. And at halftime, the two teams, they had combined for a 21-13 difference, but you knew Cleveland had all the momentum. I mean, Burrow had confidence on his face, but you knew Cleveland had all the momentum, and it carried over, adding touchdowns each quarter the last two plays. So, to me, I'm not trying to make this out to be something that it's not. Cleveland, they won the game because they were the better team against Cincinnati. But if Cleveland can take their game plan, what they did against Cincinnati, and they don't get behind the eight ball early, they can stay in football games. All right, this isn't me a sales pitch of why I believe Baker Mayfield will surpass the Gardner Minshew wager for mustaches in the next 3 weeks. What you saw last night was that Cleveland has a difficult time coming from behind. Cleveland, they can't keep the pace up with other opponents they're going to face this year, so they have to set the pace. They have to maintain the lead because playing catch-up is going to be difficult for Kevin Stefanski's team. Just look at what he did last year in Minnesota, Cater. Kevin Stefanski's life as an offensive coordinator in Minneapolis, that was easy. Why? Because Minnesota's defense was giving them opportunity after opportunity. You know, we can sit here and try to have the conversation of who runs the offense better or who's a better quarterback for that offense for Kevin Stefanski, Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield. When Mayfield's not out there trying to overthink and it's just pitch and catch, giving him protection and not rolling out of the pocket, dodging four oncoming blitzers, he's fine. And Cincinnati gave him every opportunity last night as well. They were blitzing the entire game, and all he was just looking for the open receiver in the slot.
Yeah.
Or if Landry or Odell were beating their guy off the line, it was a 50-50 ball, and guess what? Landry was getting enough separation, and I believe Odell Beckham's one of the best 50-50 wide receivers in the NFL. That was the results you got last night for four quarters. So you saw what the future of the NFL looks like with Baker and with Joe Burrow. But what I saw at the end of the game, yeah, it was 35-30 Cleveland. But I looked at Joe Burrow only two games into his NFL career, and I went, Cincinnati's going to be putting a world of hurt on a lot of teams in the NFC North in roughly about 24, 30 months.
Let me ask you this real quick. Colin Cowherd tweeted last night. Now, he's a notorious Baker Mayfield hater.
No, he loves Baker Mayfield. Come on.
And again, we're only two games into the Joe Burrow era, so we're not trying to overreact here. But he did tweet out last night, Baker Mayfield, who played well tonight, fourth best quarterback in that division. And I think once we see a couple more games, once we get a little bit more of a sample size for Joe Burrow, that might be accurate. Now, Baker needs to play like this to be considered, you know, playing well consistently, because overall in his career, he's not. But he played very well last night, but he very, very well could be the fourth best quarterback in that division.
I don't think that's an overreaction by
Cowherd.
By Colin.
Yeah.
I know that he's always looking for an opportunity to kind of stick it to Mayfield. But that just goes back to just what Joe Burrow looked like last night. Burrow still had three touchdowns. Burrow still had 316 yards. There were times where he was having to get the ball out of his hand. Look, his completion percentage would have been better if he wasn't dumping it out of bounds as much as he was off the pressure. So, to the point Calhurd was trying to make last night via Twitter, I could see that. Right now, I would still say Baker better than Burrow, but guess what? That can easily change after week three.
Yep.
Definitely after week four. I mean, just looking ahead before we go to the reset to Cleveland schedule, they go or Cincinnati schedule, they go to Philly, they come back, they have a home game against Jacksonville, and then they go to Baltimore. So are they likely going to start 0-5? Can they get that Cleveland, or can they get that Jacksonville game? Maybe. It's going to be a long season in Cincinnati, but help's going to be on the way when they have a top five pick that's just going to add to what the future is going to look like for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's bright. If you're a Bengals fan and you're always saying Marvin Lewis, playoffs, always went in the division, 9-7, nothing good will ever happen to the Bengals since that Super Bowl loss to the Niners, chill out. Good things are on the way. His name's Joe Burrow. I'm not breaking any news, and last night's performance should give you a lot of confidence to continue to wear your Bengals gear Fridays when you go to work. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. It's not impossible, but it's going to be difficult. Not three picks, but six picks. To the windows next on 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Eric came with your midday or with your morning sports. Good news for Tennessee football. Offensive lineman Cade Mays again, who won his eligibility appeal from the NCAA. Next up, to be completely eligible, he'll need a waiver from the SEC. So not completely out of the woods yet, but good news yesterday. Step one of two now complete. More on Tennessee football here in the Tennessee football practice report. A loaded Tennessee football practice report. That's coming up at 7:15. Go ahead and set your timers. Rivalry Thursday, West improved to 5-0 on the year with a 22-7 win over Oak Ridge last night. Thursday Night Football, the Browns defeated the Bengals 35-30. Number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, just talking about it there. 37 for 61 on the night, 316 yards and three scores in a losing effort. NBA playoffs, Boston's in trouble. Miami up 2-0 following a 106-101 win in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Lightning heading on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Will take on the Dallas Stars. Game one will be Saturday night, but the Lightning needed overtime but took down the Islanders 2-1 to win that series 4-2. Two more teams punched their ticket to the postseason yesterday. The Rays in a doubleheader sweep over the Orioles and the White Sox, who took down the Twins 4-3. And Justin Thomas, your leader right now through round one at the U.S. Open at 5-under. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:43, we'll catch up with Pete Michaels traffic coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Ranger.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The folks you have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse? No. Well.
Kaner. I'm a big fan of Knock on Wood because it gives me the energy I need to get through, which is going to be the first time it's ever happened here on the program of the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, it's Friday. It's the final segment of the first hour. You know what time it is, but it's a little different. With no Will today, grabbing some vacay before the start of the football season, you still want six picks, right? You can't just do this, hey, that's three, I need six, when one of you are gone. Deep breath. Psych yourself up. Let's get to it, shall we? You're not getting three. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to go 6-0 this weekend. Six picks. They all start now. Ladies and gentlemen, clutch your fist. Shout at the sky. This is To the Window.
The corporate offices of Cumulus Media told the morning show I had to read this to cover their butts. Any and all mentions of spreads or wagering during this next segment is strictly for entertainment purposes only. Hope this helped, gentlemen. Here's To the Window on the starting lineup. Powered by New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center.
Will, Kaner, why don't you tell everybody what you just said during the break there when you cut my mic? What did you just say to me?
I said a little dramatic, but you're clear.
Yeah, because I'm going to go 6-0 this week. What are people going to say when I go 6-0? You know what the answer is? Absolutely nothing. Because when you're winning and you're making people money, they don't say anything to you. But if you lose, then they're like, my mortgage, my kids' college fund. Let's get right to it. Let's
Idiot.
Get started with game number one. It's tonight. It's game one of the Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Which way you leaning? The spread's 7 points right now. I'll tell you which way I'm leaning, and that's with Denver right now. Plus seven. Listen, the Lakers, they won 3 of the 4 games against Denver when they played in the regular season. 2-2 against the spread, but boy, oh boy, man, when they play, Denver keeps it close. Denver keeps it very close. Gary Harris is now back to 100%. He's Denver's top defender. He makes a huge difference, all right? Not to mention that the final two games of the last round, Denver was shooting over 50%. That's momentum. That's house money. They carry it over. Lakers might still win this game, but I'm telling you, it's going to be down to one of the final two possessions. Denver's still in the game. Denver gets you a W. You know what's one of the best bets in Major League Baseball? You probably don't know because you don't bet Major League Baseball, and that's okay because sometimes it's a dangerous game. That's when Max Fried starts on the hill for the Atlanta Braves, all right? They're darn near a lock every time that they play, the Atlanta Braves, when they have Max Fried on the field. And who do they have tonight? They've got a matchup against the New York Mets. The Mets right now scorching hot after stealing 2 from the Phillies. They're only a game out of a playoff spot right now with 10 to go, so you'd say momentum Mets. No. Who kills momentum? Max Fried. Who stops people in their tracks? Max Fried. Even if he doesn't have the strongest of starts, the Braves offense shows up when Max Fried's on the hill. Right now, a little pricey, minus 165, but who cares about prices when you know you're going to get the win, right? Braves, 165. Everybody knows about these numbers with Max Fried. This number will climb substantially. Get on it now so you feel a little bit more comfortable about it. That's the Braves. They win against the Mets today, minus 165. All right, your third pick, and nobody likes betting unders. If you like betting unders, that's ridiculous. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But you know what? Sometimes it pays off, especially in a game when you have two just very bad offenses in the ACC. Who are they? They're Wake Forest and they're NC State. Yeah. Tell me you didn't watch Clemson-Wake Forest last week and say to yourself, that's an offense I want to get behind. No, you didn't, because nobody watches Wake Forest-NC State football and say the Demon Deacons offense this year, that's something I want to get behind. Here's a number you're going to want to know. Right now, NC State, they managed ACC worst 16 points per game last year in conference. And there's some other things you're not going to want to ignore. The fact that NC State's last 29 ACC games, they're 20-9 against the under. Wake Forest, their last... So what am I trying to tell you? When teams get together like NC State and Wake Forest, bet the under because either somebody's is lopsided scoring and the other team doesn't show up or they're just bad offenses to go with. I'm sorry, Dave Clawson. You just have some kind of kryptonite to the other ACC teams. Under 52.5, Wake Forest at NC State. That's your pick for number four. Number three, I beg your pardon. Quickly, we'll go to the NFL on Sunday, and this is where we really start to clean up. Let's get started with the first game. There is a matchup this week where there is a very good team going up against a very bad team. They are division opponents, and they have flexed their muscle against that opponent for the last two seasons. Buffalo, minus 5.5. They're just better than the Fish. Josh Allen will continue to show why he is going to be the best quarterback moving forward in the AFC East. Yes, better than Cam. Better than Cam. So with Buffalo, you take the 5.5 points, and you don't even flip back over to that game. You'll watch the first drive. Buffalo will get a field goal out of it, go up 3-0, and you don't even have to worry about that game. You'll flip over in the fourth quarter, and Fitzpatrick will be trying to do a backdoor cover. That'll fall short on the 20-yard line, and then Buffalo will knee it for the rest of the time. That's just AFC East football. The only reason why you're watching is if you have fantasy purposes or you took the Bills minus 5.5. Here's the intriguing game. You want to talk about offenses that didn't really set the world on fire like I just referenced to Wake Forest when they played Clemson last week? Think of an NFL team whose offense didn't set the world on fire last week. Well, that's a lot of them. But in particular, I'm thinking of the Titans, that late game against Denver on Monday night. Right now, they're 9-point favorites against Jacksonville. Minshew mania continues to grow. A.J. Brown right now is questionable. I know a lot of people look at Derrick Henry and what he's going to do to that defensive line in Jacksonville. He might have a field day, but it's not going to be Tennessee 10 points better than Jacksonville. This is an opportunity for the Jaguars to keep it respectable, keep it close. 9 points, more than one possession is too much for me. I'll take the Jags and the points to try to keep it within a possession against the Titans. And finally, when good teams take on mediocre teams or not so good teams, you win. And how are we going to finish off a perfect 6-0 weekend? With Lamar Jackson now getting his opportunity to tear apart Houston's defense. Pat Mahomes just did it Thursday night of last week in an opener between the Chiefs and Texans. And now Deshaun Watson's going to have to wipe off his brow and have to go toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson. So, Texans fans, how'd you draw the back-to-back MVP winners? I don't know, but you drew yourself an 0-2 start. Ravens -7, that's a W. So we'll repeat it one final time, because I'm not going to take your text messages and direct messages throughout the day saying, now, what was pick number four? Quickly, 6 guaranteed Ws. You're taking the Nuggets +7 tonight against LeBron and the Lakers. You're taking Max Fried and the Braves to beat the Mets today, -165. Wake Forest, NC State, tomorrow night, they will go under 52.5 points. Buffalo, -5.5, a victory over Miami. Jacksonville stays close with the Titans, +9. Ravens, they knock around the Texans and Deshaun Watson, -7. What do you think, Kaner? 6-0 weekend? You smell that?
You know, really, for me, there's one that hits home for me, and that's your Atlanta pick with Free on the mound. So as long as we get that one, I'm good. But no, I feel good about all yours, man. I was doing some research while you were going at it, and yeah, I like what you got to say. So here's the 6-0, my friend.
Here's to New Balance Knoxville as well, sharing her staff. I feel confident in picks when I feel confident and look confident, and that's because these X90s, especially with this neon highlighter, you can see me glow in the dark, coming for a mile. And you know I'm going to be floating on clouds. School's already started, but if you're looking to compliment your wardrobe, do so with a little shopping with our friends at New Balance Knoxville Suburban Shopping Center off Kingston Pike. Kate Mays, cleared by the NCAA with the final hurdle to get to with the SEC. Let's talk about the Tennessee offensive lineman. We'll do it to kick off hour number 2 of the program next here on 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal.